AMP Radio.
Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by Lavasi International. Lavasi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavasi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavasi International, lavasi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
AMP Radio.
Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are.
Yeah, okay. You know, what are you doing?
AMP Radio.
Fetch. Big meat. Fetch. Fetch.
Are you ready for this performance?
Fetch.
They're gonna bang, bro.
Fetch.
Yes, indeed. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, brought to you by the AMP Radio Network. Thank you, Gordy, for belting that out once again. You are truly missed. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of AMP Radio. As I said, this one we like to call Smack My Picks Up. And of course, this is the UFC on Fox 26. Did you hear me right, everyone? Big Fox. Lawler versus Dos Santos, which will be held on Saturday, December 16th, 2017, at the granddaddy of them all in the flat plains of Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. That's right. It's the Bell MTS Place. Thank you. That's right. Granddaddy of them all. This event will be the second that the UFC has hosted in Winnipeg since UFC 161 back in, June 2013. The Lawler versus Dos Santos fight will, as we know, maybe, DJ Tony, be a welterweight eliminator fight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to just bring it up at the top. We are down a member of Smack My Picks Up tonight. We wanted to give a shout out to the first lady of AMP Radio. Tony, I think we should cue her music up right now and just play it real quick. Give a shout out to Pam from North Carolina, because you know what? She's the voice of insanity, and we won't have her here today. There it is. Pam, we're going to
hey, y'all!
Yeah, there it is.
Happy Sunday!
No, not Sunday. I apologize. But we know. We're going to miss Pam from North Carolina tonight. Unfortunately, she's under the weather. As we know, DJ Tony, as we say on the show, sometimes life gets in the way. You've already heard his voice, so let's just bring DJ Tony in. Thank you, Jacare. I appreciate that. Let's just bring in DJ Tony real quick. Go ahead, DJ Tony. Play your music.
Hang on. I wasn't ready. My bad.
That's okay. We'll edit. We'll edit.
AMP Radio. Podcast by night. All day. I'm not impressed by your performance.
AMP Radio.
You know what? That's not even the one I wanted, Proteus.
Edit! Well, fix.
Remix!
Indeed, indeed.
Here we go.
Just
hit it.
Tony, I wanted.
Boy, I'm not having any luck. That's not the one I wanted either, Proteus.
Wow. Well, let me do this then. There it is.
As the lovely Pam would say, Proteus, big meats.
Big meats indeed. I do appreciate that. Big meats. So, DJ Tony, I wanted to bring you in before we officially bring in the star of the show because I wanted to discuss a landmark event is coming up in the near future. We are very, very close, DJ Tony, to 300 shows. Can you believe it?
How about that, Proteus?
Hoo-ah! How about it indeed? Hoo-ah! Love it.
Yeah,
man.
Like we always say, we didn't know what was going to happen, but we started from the bottom. Now we're here. Proteus, obviously, you know, we have to give credit to everyone that's ever been on the show, but your hard work has made this thing happen. 300 shows, that's an incredible pace. And we stopped counting the MMA minutes because otherwise we might have been at 400.
Right.
So how about that?
Yeah, no, I wanted to say exactly the same thing and echo your sentiments. I wanted to thank everybody that's ever been a part of the show. We thank you very much for being a part of the show. We wouldn't be there without you. But let's go ahead and bring in the star of the show because we wouldn't be here without him either. And this Smack My Picks Up show is all about our next guest coming at us deep from the heart of Texas. That's right, our boy Marco from Waco, brother. Somebody's on mute.
Try it again.
3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 1. Marco from Waco, brother.
Marco from Waco, brother. Take two. Te pasa, vatos. I get a thing.
What is happening?
What's that? Hey.
I gotta say happy birthday to my dog Rex. My black lab is 2 years old today. Happy birthday, you stupid dog! You bark way.
Waza!
Happy birthday, Rex!
Oh no!
Did we lose Marco again?
In your 300 episode anniversary. First of all, congratulations! You know I see all the hard work you guys put into it, but it will be criminal. If in the 300 episode you don't go and kick the door on the chest and go, this is a Sparta!
I said the same thing to DJ Tony when he said if I had any ideas for our 300 show, I said, this is Sparta! Did I not, DJ Tony?
You did. And Pam left us a message on that.
Stupid!
Thank you, Pammy.
Thank you, dummy.
All right, guys, listen. Listen, as I said, we have to say thank you to Marco. We have to say thank you to Pam. We have to say thank you to DJ Tony. And, of course, as we said, we have to say thank you to everyone else that contributed to the show and continues to contribute to the show. I mean, just because people aren't around for certain shows doesn't mean life isn't getting in the way. It's not that we don't want to have them on the show, right, DJ Tony? It's just everybody's life goes in a different direction and maybe we can't have everybody on, you know? So I thank you guys all very much again, but let's go ahead and get into the card that is coming up this weekend, apparently on Big Fox. And I said, I had it here, DJ Tony, it is going to be playing on CTV2. For all you Canadians that have that cable stuff, let's get into it. We're going to start at the bottom and work our way to the top because we started at the bottom and now we're here, apparently. That's what we have to say. I don't know who that guy is, but number 3, ranked Glover Teixeira, who's coming at us at 26 6-0 record versus number 7, Misha Cirkunov, who is listed as coming at us from Latvia, and of course, Glover's and from Brazil. I apologize for all our Brazilian fans. But Misha coming at us at 13-3-0. DJ Tony, let's see. Do we have the odds on this one? No, we do not. If we have the odds, Tony, just bring them in whenever you can. Because I don't have them up here. But let's get into it, guys. Marco, I'll start with you because this is a very interesting light heavyweight bout because the last time we saw Misha Cirkunov, it wasn't a very good showing for him. And he's coming up against a very, very tough guy and, you know, your boy Glover Teixeira. So, Marco, what you got?
Okay, first of all, I ate a bag of dicks last week. I went 0-4. Every single one of my dicks sucked. I was like, get even on the TV. So whatever I say today, take it with a grain of salt because I actually got on a downswing. But that said, Misha Cirkunov got smoked by, the number one contender, Vulcan, you know, resistant shooter of the mirror, or at least Lidlow and Prosper, whatever you want to call him, Vulcan of the mirror. And Glover got destroyed by, the two number one contender, Alexander Gustafsson. I mean, okay. For all intents and purposes, this issue should be fighting Gustafsson, but Gustafsson is on demand, healing some injuries and stuff. I think he's always injured, by the way. But both guys coming from losses from high-profile fighters. But Glover, man, he's on the downswing of his career. I mean, he came into the UFC too little too late. He was not on his prime. You know, everybody talk about him, the history. Everybody knows for 7 years he couldn't come in because of visa issues. And by the time he came in, he was an media player. But everybody wondered if what would have happened if he would have showed up when his prime. He probably would have been a champion. That's it, man. Lately, Glover has not been the same. He prepared his own camps now in Connecticut. He doesn't have a team around him. He does basically his own thing. And Mr. Cirkunov, on the other hand, a staple of the new breeding of Canadians coming in. A lot of hype behind this guy. I mean, he was the favorite to win on the fight with Vulcan Ozdemir before he got murked. Yeah. I'm still riding with Mr. Cirkunov. I mean, he's a younger guy, very good on the ground. Like I said, he's on his way up, losing to Volkan Ozdemir is no shame now because the guy is going to fight for a championship. So, God forbid Volkan wins a freaking championship. He lost to the current champion. So. Glover Teixeira saw his better days, man. I think he's just catching checks right now. That number 3 ranking of his column is a little bit just name recognition more than quality of wins. But Glover is always dangerous. He does have good standard, and his ground game is very underrated. The guy's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. But I'm going with the youth, man. I'm going with the youth, the hungry guy, a guy that I think is going to want to correct what happened with the second of the Volkan Ozdemir fight. A guy that, like I said, is on the rise, and could be the next biggest star of Canadian MMA. A lot of people in Canada are riding with Misha Cirkunov. So I take Misha Cirkunov, and I'm going to take him, but establish, man, in the second round, via submission. Since he's a specialist, I'm going to take him via submission. So give him Misha.
Okay, so, as you were saying, Marco, we know we have Misha Cirkunov coming at us at a ripe young age of 30, and Glover Teixeira, as you mentioned, not so ripe and coming at us at 8 years his elder at 38. And just before I'm giving you guys all numbers right now, so let me give you the odds right now because DJ Tony, hey, UFC.ca, you got to step up your game, man. We should have the odds on your site. DJ Tony getting us the odds here. Glover at a plus 145 and Cirkunov the favorite at a minus 160. So Tony, let's throw it to you. Are you going with the youth as well, or are you going to go with the experience in Glover Teixeira here in this light heavyweight bout?
Well, normally you guys, and you guys know this about me, normally anything that has to do with Misha, I would definitely go with.
Oh. Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah, the problem is this isn't the same Misha, right? Right? This isn't the same Misha, and I can't blame him. I don't blame him. The problem is, Misha Sirkinov, for everything that he's done, guys, and he's 13-3. Marco's right, and he hasn't lost in quite some time. I think he went a good maybe 8-9 battles without losing, 8 in a row, actually, after his loss to Aaron Johnson in King of the Ring. But basically, in the UFC, he was 4-1, right? His lone loss to Volkan Ozdemir, who's no joke. But keep in mind, he got KO'd. If you also look at most of Misha Sirkinov's victories, they've been via submission, most of them. And Glover, to date, and this may be the nail in the coffin here, but he's never been submitted, guys. Well, actually, that's not true, right? No, he's never been submitted. No, he's never been submitted, guys. Decision, he, of course, submitted OSP, so Marco's right about his ground game, not being there. I agree that Glover's chin may not be what it used to be, and maybe he came in to the UFC a little too late, but he's not going to get KO'd by Misha Sirkinov. And I can't believe I'm saying this, because these are light heavyweights, and light heavyweights typically, those barely ever go 3, but this is going to go 3. So I'm picking Glover Teixeira via decision over Misha Sirkinov.
All right, so Glover.
It's an under the glove.
Decision for Tony. And, of course, a second-round submission, Sirkinov, for Marco. Okay, listen, guys, I think I kind of agree with what we're kind of saying here, that we don't know what Misha Sirkinov is all about, because he got knocked out by the guy who's – really quickly by the guy who is about to have a title shot. And, of course, Glover is always very, very scary. I mean, he's got that boxing game, but can Misha Sirkinov get inside against Glover? I don't know, man. I have my doubts. I sometimes we see these young surging guys hit a ceiling. And, of course, he's a Canadian fella. He fights out of Toronto, which is very near me. He's frozen tundra right now. Of course, he's in Winnipeg, so it's even more frozen tundra. We'll get to that in a minute, because it's not very nice weather up here in Canada. But I don't know if Misha can get it done, guys. I'm very wary to get back into him. Like you guys said, I don't think there's going to be a submission here in this fight for Misha Sirkinov. So his best bet is to stand and pound with Glover Teixeira, which is always a bad idea. 38 years old or not, I'm going to go with Glover Teixeira. I'm going to go with second round TKO. Thank you very much. So, Glover, second TKO for Proteus. All right, guys, we're going to move right along, because this one here, ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, is what we've been waiting for. It's not that what we've been waiting for, but this is going to be a test for Mike Perry. And, of course, we had a little bit of excitement couple months, maybe a month or so back. I believe it was in Poland with Mike Perry. And, of course, he's going to be having to fight Santiago Pazanibio, which is a good test for him. So let's get into it right now. Welterweight bout, Santiago Pazanibio, 31 years of age, 25-3 versus your boy, DJ Tony. Face tattoo and all, Mike Perry. 26 years of age, 11-1. We're going to start with you, DJ Tony. What you got here in this fight? Is Mike Perry for real, or is Pazanibio got his number?
This is the toughest fight that I think that anyone had a call, at least for me, because I think you've got a couple of unknowns, right? You have Santiago Pazanibio, who literally has fought some good competition, got TKO'd by Lawrence Larkin. But Ryan LaFleur, his other loss, it wasn't bad. I didn't think he could beat Gunnar Nelson. There's no way I thought he could beat Gunnar Nelson. And he KO'd Gunnar Nelson in Europe, of all places. I don't know if Mike Perry has a chin or not, because he's never really been tested. He did lose via decision when I was there, UFC on Fox 22. So So clearly UFC on Fox happens to be Mike Perry's platinum tattoo here on TV. But he did lose via to Alan Jovan. I think I'm going to drive Pam crazy on this one, guys. And I don't know if Marco or you agree with me on this one. I'm going to go with Ponzinibbio. I don't know why. I just have a feeling that he's going to pull through. So having faced tougher competition, maybe not the heavy hitters that Mike Perry is, I'm still going to take a shot. I think I'm going to go with Ponzinibbio. And I'm going to go Ponzinibbio. How about this, guys? First round, TKO.
Wow. First round TKO. All right. So before we go to Marco, let me give you guys the odds. We have Ponzinibbio coming at us at the favorite at a -190, but of course it's very, very close. Perry coming at us at a +165. So Marco, kind of, you know, very close here. I mean, do you got platinum or do you have Gete Boa?
Okay. So first of all, as a principle, because I grew up in Chile and there is always been rivalry with Argentina, I unfortunately didn't pick up any Argentinians. So, no. And I was brought to the Octagon, and I like the story of Mike Perry, man. I mean, he was calling Santiago Ponzinibbio Santiago Pinocchio because he's lying to himself. That's pretty cool. I don't know. His styles may fight, man. His styles may fight. And Alan Jovan was able to beat my Perry because he never engaged Perry. He counterpunched. He followed his back foot, and he kept keeping the distance and counterpunching and drawing Perry in. Perry likes to engage and get into brawls, man. That is what he shines. Ponzinibbio is not a counterpuncher. He's not a back foot fighter. He's also a pressure fighter, and I think that is going to be his undoing. As good as Ponzinibbio is, I think Mike Perry is a little bit better. Ponzinibbio got very good boxing fundamentals, man. He's good at that. But Perry is quicker. He's faster. I think he packed a bigger punch, man. 11 fights, 11 KO TKOs that he has won, you know. Every single one of his victories are knockout victories. There's no going to the judges with that. I'm riding with Perry. I think because Ponzinibbio is going to get his Argentina bravado and try to engage in a firefight with Perry, he's going to find out real quickly that he's not as quick as Perry. And Perry, for whatever you want to criticize him, he got good head movement, and the guy can take a punch. I mean, Joe Band was tagging him and stuff, and he rolled with the punches really well. Punches are good to take other people out. The guy can actually take him.
Chingazo.
I'm riding with Matt Perry, and it's going to be an early second-round TKO. Ponzinibbio's game, he's going to try to bring the fight to Perry. And like I said, that's going to be his undoing. I think the hype is real, and the next fight, logically speaking, for Perry, after he was Ponzinibbio, is a Darren Till fight. He called him out in Poland. So let's make that fight happen. Give me Perry second-round TKO.
Well, listen, I think maybe, Marco, you might be swayed by your interest to have the Darren Till fight. I think that Ponzinibbio is going to be Mike Perry's biggest test to date. I'm not Chilean, so I don't have any bias against the Argentinian blood.
Maldito.
Well, we have to get that. We need to have that as a drop, that's for sure.
Argentino maldito.
There you go, see?
I'm not impressed by your performance.
I'd like to say that Ponzinibbio has a very good chance here against Mike Perry. He looks very long. He looks very lean. And of course, everybody leading up to this fight was saying, Ponzinibbio, Mike Perry needs to get past Ponzinibbio before he can even think about Darren Till. And that's true. He does. Mike Perry is very good at being, Conor McGregor, type. He's very good at being showy. He's very good at being, running his mouth in a, South Florida kind of way. Not to throw shade on South Florida at all. I apologize. Face tattoos and all. I think that, Hanzo Nibio has a very good chance in this fight to win this fight. I think he's a smarter fighter. I think if he can stay away from what Platinum Perry does, and of course I've said on previous shows that I think Platinum Perry's style is the wave of the future, but I don't know if he's going to be able to do that kind of style against this high caliber kind of person. So I think that I'm going to take Ponza Nibio. I'm going to take Ponza Nibio probably by third round submission. I think he wears Perry down and is able to sub him out in the third. All right, guys.
Shout out to Mike Perry's girlfriend, pro tennis player.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hottie. Holy crap, man.
Yeah, she's doing okay for herself.
I know, man. Ugly mug like that.
By the way, guys, just remember this, and Marco is right, and I think you're right as well, Proteus, but just remember this. I mean, just like with anything else, a lot of people have been taken in by Ponzi schemes.
Oh, ba-doom-boom. Very good.
Oh, God. That's it.
All right, guys, so let's move around. Let's go ahead and move along, DJ Tony, to the co-main event on this particular main event. And, of course, guys, as you know, this is a four-fight main event. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us a four-fight main event on Fox, Big Fox. We've got our boy, Ricardo Lamas, number three in the world, apparently, due to the Empire's ranking. 35 years of old. Wow. 35 years of age, 18-5 against the short replacement, Josh Emmett, 32 years of age, 12-1. We'll go to Marco again because I think that's the order that we're going here. Who do you got here, Marco? Because this is a big test for Josh Emmett, stepping in at the last second against a number one contender, well, number three contender in Ricardo Lamas.
I assume Ricardo Lamas is the odds favorite. Man, it sucks for Ricardo Lamas because he was supposed to fight Jose Aldo. And, I mean, no discredit to Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett is a hot prospect, but, he's a little bit late in life, like 32 years old, trying to make his run, especially as a featherweight.
Yeah.
You can all, man. But I got no reason to believe that Josh Emmett got anything from Ricardo Lamas. But, I mean, Lamas have only lost to the best. Jose Aldo, you name it. Jose Aldo is the one name that pops into my head right away. He didn't have fight Holloway. Did he fight Holloway? I can't remember right now. I know the top of my head, but he only lost to the best, and I don't think Josh Emmett is up the level. I mean, if Josh Emmett come and surprise us, great for him. Emmett fights, Emmett trains at Team Alpha Male, so he got a good team behind him. And got good coaching, and they always got a game plan. So, don't sleep on Josh Emmett. But I'm going on the strength of pedigree here. And I seen Ricardo Lamas is in a resurgence. He's a very greedy wrestler. He got a punching power now, oddly enough. So I'm going with Ricardo Lamas. But I'm going to give Emmett respect because, those guys in Alpha Male do train their fighters right. And, they are all cardio machines. So this is going to go the distance, and it's going to be a straight 30-27 for Ricardo Lamas. Nothing consequential is going to happen after this because, Holloway is going to fight Frankie Edgar, and Ricardo Lamas probably is going to have to fight somebody else to even sniff a possibility of a title shot.
Okay, so Marco taking his 30-27 Lamas win. Of course, Marco, yes.
Ricardo de Lamas.
That's right. The Lama did fight Max Holloway three fights ago to a unanimous decision by Max Holloway. He went to decision with the champ. So I, as you're saying, and we'll throw to DJ Tony, I think Marco has the right path here because, we don't know. the untested Mike Perry hasn't been fighting the top edge of Josh Emmett coming in on the last minute here, fighting somebody who is at top echelon of the division, the featherweight division. Tony, who you got here? You got Ricardo Lamas, you got Josh Emmett.
The funny thing is, I mean, you said that he's a short replacement, and I don't know what Josh Emmett's height has to do with this.
Wow. Okay.
5'6".
I see where we're going.
Never mind. All right. You know what? I agree with Marco on this one. Josh Emmett, of course, Team Alpha Male product, and you know me, I back almost all Team Alpha Male products, but listen, there's not a big disparity in age. Certainly there's a big disparity in terms of talent and who they fought, right? I think Ricardo Lamas is one hell of a fighter, and like Marco said, I mean, he's only lost to the best: Holloway, Chad Mendes, Jose Aldo. He did lose to Danny Castillo, however, so that's an interesting note there, and lost to Yuri Alcantara. I don't think that Ricardo Lamas, the Freudian slip there, loses to Josh Emmett. I just don't think, especially on a big stage. So I'm going with Lamas. You know what? He's actually has gone through decisions with big fighters. I don't think he's going to go to a decision with Josh Emmett. I just don't see it. So I'm taking Ricardo Lamas via submission. Let's say third round sub.
Wow. Ricardo de Lama Lama.
That's correct. Listen, guys, I think that it's going to be a clean slate here on Ricardo Lamas. I think that, you know, we have to bet on the safe money here. Ricardo Lamas is a proven commodity against, as you guys were saying, the higher level competition. I mean, Josh Emmett, I thank you very much for filling in and making sure that, Jose Aldo not fighting Ricardo Lamas he's going to have a tough fight. I think that Josh Emmett is going to be a very, very tough fight for Ricardo Lamas because, you know, everyone in this division is tight. You know, everyone in this division is going to be tough. Anyone in the UFC is going to be tough. But having said that, I'm going to take Ricardo Lamas. I'm going to take him, second round. I'm going to take him second round TKO, something like that. So second round TKO for me.
Fuck that!
Proteus. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Nate. So let's recap that one real quick. We've got Marco coming in at us at a 30-27 decision, Lamas. We've got DJ Tony coming at us at a third round sub, Lamas. And, of course, I've got second round TKO for Lamas. And I think I gave the odds already, so let's move on. Moving along we go, of course, to the main event of the evening. And Marco, we're going to start with you because you're the star of the show and we want you to have the main event. Coming at us from the frozen tundra on Saturday in a welterweight division belt. I don't know if we can call it a welterweight division bout because RDA hasn't really proven himself up against anybody yet, but Marco, we'll let you get into that. We have Hubby Lawler, 35 years of age, 28-11-1 against Rafael Dos Anjos, 33 years of age, 27-9. Marco, Rafael Dos Anjos is moving up from lightweight to welterweight. He's looked very good at welterweight, but can he do it against Hubby Lawler? That is the question. We throw to you, Marco. Who you got?
I love this fight. You got the former welterweight champion, Ruthless Hubby Lawler. I got to say that he wants to take your soul. And then you got Team All Violence, Rafael Dos Anjos. Or Dos Anchovies, whatever you want to call them. The guy that I blame for the conception of my daughter because I was there.
That's right.
When he did the shit out of Anthony Pettis. And that weekend, I feel it can happen. So it's all your fault, Rafael. I had to, you know what?
Rafael.
This fight, Rafael Dos Anjos. this fight is so good, man. I've been going back and forward and back and forward and back and forward. Look, Lawler is a very smart fighter. He knows when to take, some time off during the round to reset and then put it on again. Like, usually it starts really hot in the beginning of the round, take the next 2 or 3 minutes kind of off, and then at the last minute he turns it on again, leaving an impression of the judges, you know. He knows how to win rounds. Rafael Dos Anjos, man, got cardio for days. I mean, and now that he doesn't have to go to 155, even better. And the guy got, submissions from hell, because, you know, black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and his muta is nothing to be freaking, it's something to behold. He can pressure you and punish you like there is no tomorrow. I just ask Anthony Pettis about it. Ask Donald Cerrone about it. Yeah, the guy has a pedigree. He has a freaking backup. He hasn't done much in the 170-pound division, but what he has done has been impressive. Lawler looked okay against Cerrone in his last fight, and then, you know, he got the long break after he lost his championship to Tyron Woodley. He has been a little bit inactive, contrast that with Rafael Dos Anjos, that ever since, he's moved to 170, he has been super active. And I think Rafael Dos Anjos has a momentum right now. It's all about, when you're on your run, I've seen Dos Anjos is on his run on 170. I'm going to pick Dos Anjos, man, on a classic fight of the ever kind of ordeal. These guys are going to go at each other and throw everything in the kitchen sink to each other. But I think Dos Anjos, because he's going to be more relenting, because he doesn't take minutes off the round, he doesn't take rounds off like Robbie Lawler sometimes does, he's going to be able to rack the points up. It's going to go back and forth, but it's going to be super entertaining. But at the end of the day, in a five-round classic, I pick Rafael Dos Anjos with a 48-47 decision, brother.
Okay. That sounds like something that fight fans would want to see. Let me give you guys the odds here real quick, Marco, before I let you go. RDA coming out, I said, a minus 115. And the former champ, Atlas weight division, Hobby Lawler, coming out, I said, a minus 105. Marco, what do you think about these odds?
That's a pick 'em. That is exactly what it is, a pick 'em.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fairly so. I mean, if everything is the way it's supposed to be intended to be, the winner of this fight will fight Tyron Woodley. Now, that said, it's all about Tyron Woodley taking the fight, because he's calling everybody and their mother that he's not the number one contender, because he's doing his shit again. Oh, I want a money fight. I want Conor. I want freaking GSP. I'll move up to 185 or five, whatever, Robert Whittaker. He didn't want to fight anybody but the number one contender at 170. At the end of the day, he's going to fight the number one contender. They don't give him an option. They don't give him a choice. But if everybody is good in the universe, the number one contender comes out of this fight, man. I mean, I feel sorry for Corey Covington, because I think he has made a case, and he has been talking smack and calling the hell out of Tyron Woodley. And I would like to see Corey Covington fight Tyron Woodley. But I think Corey's going to have to fight one more time. But probably the loser of this fight and the winner of this fight is the shoe-in number one contender for Tyron Woodley.
All right, Tony, DJ Tony, let's throw to you. I gave Marco the odds. You heard the odds. You heard Marco's breakdown. Do you think that Rafael Dos Anjos coming up from 155 has anything for the former champ, and of course a guy who in Robbie Lawler who has moved down from 185? Who do you got? You got Ruthless or do you got RDA?
Yeah, I don't know about Rafael Dos Anjos. I know that Rafael Dos Anjos definitely has a fraud record. And I'll tell you why. Dos Anjos, if you really look at his record, right, he beat Donald Cerrone, but a depleted Donald Cerrone in a different weight class. He did beat Eddie Alvarez, but I think Eddie Alvarez was at a different time. He loses to El Cucuy, Tony Ferguson, beats Tarek Saffiedin, who at the time, I mean, he had lost like three straight or two straight, and so losses there. So that's kind of a fraud. Then he beats Neil Magny. But keep in mind, Neil Magny, for all his height, et cetera, I mean, if you look at who he fought, and he Neil Magny went on this streak, right, where he beat Eric Silva via split decision, beat Kelvin Gastelum, who could barely make weight, via split decision,
right,
beat Hector Lombard. But aside from that, guys, he loses to Lawrence Larkin, where he gets smoked, beats Johnny Hendricks, but we've already said Pam beat Johnny Hendricks, right? He
wow.
Well, you know what I mean. He of course loses to RDA. If you look at RDA's record, guys, it's kind of a fraud. Look at it recently. It's not really the same RDA, and I think we famously have spoken about RDA not being the same RDA for whatever reason.
Right.
Right. It just hasn't been the same RDA physically. I think Robbie Lawler, say whatever you want to say about him, 28, 11, and 1, and he's gone on these streaks, right, where he loses a lot, then wins a lot. One thing about him, he was really smart in taking that time off. For whatever reason, getting his head back, he does have double-digit losses, guys, but look who he's beaten. Carlos Condit,
yeah.
Rory McDonald, who may be the best welterweight on the planet, right? He beat a good Johnny Hendricks, beat a good Matt Brown, beat a decent Jake Ellenberger. He loses to Tyron Woodley on a Tyron Woodley Hail Mary in the first, maybe. Who knows? I mean, who knows what that fight would have gone. But he did beat Cerrone, and he Marco's right. He takes time off, meaning rounds off, but he did beat Donald Cerrone and beat him unanimously. I'm taking Robbie Lawler, and I think Robbie Lawler is going to finish him in the second round. So I'm taking Robbie Lawler via second round TKO.
Okay. Second round TKO. And just to correct DJ Tony, it's 28-11 and 0 with one no contest for Robbie
yeah.
Lawler.
Just a quick note. Robbie Lawler hasn't
yeah,
finished anybody since Robbie Lawler has not finished anybody since 2013, David. So it's been a lot of actually Ronnie McDonald.
Yeah.
I stand corrected, but a clear TKO like that, and no, McDonough was a war of attrition. But, you know, I'll take it. You know, Robbie Lawler hits hard.
I don't know if we can really say that at the upper echelon of this sport that if you haven't finished anybody in a certain amount of time that you're a pussy. I don't think we can say that, because if you're fighting the upper echelon of MMA and the UFC, I think you're fighting very, very tough combatants, and you may not be able to finish all of them. But here, my friends, sorry, Marco, I didn't mean to,
No, I was going to say, nothing again against Rory Lawler. I mean, he can give us some classics. The Carlos Condit fight,
yeah.
They left their souls in there. The Rory McDonald fights, oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, nothing against that. As I said, because the competition has been so tough, it's a bit more difficult to get the finish, but no. And
right.
Far from saying that Robbie Lawler is not capable of it. No, I'm not trying to say it.
Well, you better not have been. You better not have been, Marco, because I thought that's what you were saying. No, I'm just joking with you. Listen, I think that Robbie Lawler is going to be able to get this one done as well. I think that, you know, the gentleman is, you know, more used to fighting at a higher weight level. You know, I think that, as you guys had mentioned, that time off that he took was very, very good for him. He had very, very, two very, very tough fights in a row. You know, we've mentioned them already. And I think he needed to give his brain a rest. I mean, that's something that these guys need to do. I mean, especially if you're cognizant of your own career, you need to make money in this fight game. And if you can't, you know, think or listen or get out of a dark room, you know what I mean? That's not good for your career. So you got to take a break and take some time off. And I think that's been a very, very good thing for Robbie Lawler to do. And I think that Robbie Lawler is going to take this one down, guys. I think that he's going to be the bigger man. He's going to be the counter striker. I mean, we're talking about Rafael dos Santos coming at Robbie Lawler. That's the worst thing that you want to do. If you're going to be a pressure fighter against Robbie Lawler, you're going to get knocked the fuck out. Sorry about my swearing, anybody who wants to sponsor us. So I think Robbie Lawler takes this one. I think Robbie Lawler takes this one early. I think he takes it in the second. Early in the second, he beats him up in the first, takes it in the second by KO. I'm going to take Lawler. second round KO. Anybody else have anything to say?
It is going to be the two ways. I either going to suck on my picks again like I did last week, or I'm going to be freaking glowing on the next show that I'm going to have. I got three picks that descend against your picks, guys. The only ones that we all agree on was the Ricardo Lama Lamas. Everything else, you guys pick against me. So,
well, I'm gonna be rooting for you to have a bag of dicks again, Marco. I'm gonna be honest with you. Sorry about your luck.
Gato.
I had a big bag of dicks with a freaking side out of freaking nuts.
Exactly. All right, guys. So, speaking about chingazos, we're going to go into everyone's favorite segment of this particular show. This is going to be the spotlight fight of the night. And DJ Tony, I'm going to start with you. Let's go ahead and do spotlight fight of the night, because there are lots of great fights on this fight card. And let's be honest, guys. I know it's been 12 fight cards in 11 weeks, and we're kind of, you know, at the end of our rope, and we're really looking for about 2 weeks off to get away from the sport for a while. But there are a lot of good fights on this card, and there have been a lot of good fights on the past, you know, three or four cards, a lot of really good, you know, knockouts. So, DJ Tony, let's start with you and get into this spotlight fight of the night with you. What you got? Spotlight fight of the night.
I'll tell you what, guys, when it came to this, I mean, it was coming down and actually looking at a couple of shadow figures as well. You know, as Pam once put it, I see dead people. But if you look at it, I can't go with an Eric Silva fight, because I don't know which Eric Silva I'm going to get. I can't go with the Nordine to leave a fight. So I'm going to go with a proven commodity. Jan Blachowicz, 20-7, he will fight Jared Cannonier. And even though these guys, I don't think, are in the line for anything, I think it's going to be an exciting fight, and I think it's going to be lights out. So that's the fight I'm going with, Jan Blachowicz versus Jared Cannonier. That's my spotlight fight of the night.
Yeah, I think you're right with that one, DJ Tony. I mean, those are two young studs that are coming at each other. I'm going to go with a fight that I think is kind of one that it might be, you know, the fight of the lower level fighters. I'm going to go with Jordan Mean, of course, the young gun, against Eric Silva. Yeah, we all remember Eric Silva from back in the day, and we've spoken. DJ Tony has gone on a rant about DJ or up against Eric Silva in the past. I think this one is going to be very interesting, because I think it's very interesting for both fighters, because Jordan Mean retired earlier on in this year and then came back against, you know, now he's fighting, he's had a couple of losses. Now he's fighting Eric Silva, who has not had a, you know, great history either. So I think this one has potential to be a very, very good fight against two guys who are fighting for their jobs. Marco, you got a spotlight fight of the night?
I got Abel Trujillo versus John McDessie, man. This lighter weight class is always Trujillo and McDessie, man. They always are for a fun fight, you know. They're never boring, you know. A lot of scrambling, but I expect that. A lot of fast combinations. So that is my spotlight fight of the night.
Yeah, and I think if Trujillo can catch McDessie, sorry, DJ Tony. I think if Trujillo can catch McDessie, because we know that McDessie's chin is, you know, he got his jaw broken pretty recently, and I don't know, man. It could be fireworks, right, Marco?
Yeah, that's what I freaking spotted it out, man. I like
that
fight.
Yeah, I know, man. I understand that they put a lot of Canadian fighters on this particular fight card, but I think they put a lot of, you know, high-end Canadian fighters on this particular fight card, and I'm excited to watch it, even though we've been watching 12 cards in 11 weeks, and we're all looking for a break. But listen, guys,
I'm
going to throw real quick.
I'm surprised that they don't get like the Elias Theodoros or the freaking Alan Juvans on this card, man. I mean,
they fought earlier in the year, right?
Yeah, like that, especially on a Canadian card in Fox. Why don't they get those guys in this? Well, it is what it is, man. I just wonder it. You know, bigger, more recognizable names.
You're going to be hearing a lot of, let's bang, bro.
Right. And I think, Marco, the reason that came about is because they fought earlier on in the year and they got fucked up. You know, you can't do an early or a quick turnaround unless you're Michael Bisping and the commission is run by the UFC. Boom, boom. Sorry. Let's move on real quickly. Thank you, sir. Let's move on real quickly. Marco, I'm going to start with you because I know you got your ear to the ground on the news. Let's do some quick news and notes before we get out of here because, listen, guys, we're going to be on here after this show and after we have Sunday show. And, of course, we're going to have Bobby Wambacher, as I mentioned earlier on Sunday show. Maybe we'll do a Bobby Wambacher special and then we'll do this week in MMA. I'm not sure how it's going to roll, but keep in tune for Bobby Wambacher coming up. So, Marco, you got your ear to the ground. What's the news and notes that you want to talk about? Just choose one particular subject that you want to talk about, and I'll throw it to DJ Tony, and we'll have like maybe a round table topic for the last 10 minutes. Marco, what you got?
Okay, earlier today I was discussing with DJ Tony that we got some fights confirmed. And, you know, I've seen a regular order is returning to the USA. We got confirmed, Ngannou, Stipe for the Boston card. And we got confirmed the new middleweight champion, Bobby Knuckles, against Luke Rockhold for the third card. Regular order is coming into the USC, man. For all you guys that complain that, what happened with the fights that are supposed to happen? Well, these are the fights that are actually supposed to happen. George St. Pierre, I think the Russian by vacating. Nobody was expecting him to defend that title. Whatever happened with George St. Pierre later on, it's going to happen, and we're still going to watch. But regular order is coming into the UFC, and I think there's a positive freaking turn.
Okay, DJ Tony, Marco threw out three subjects there, I think, but, I mean, the main concern was that GSP gave up the middleweight title due to, injury, I guess we can call it, or illness. Do you want to comment on this, or do you want to move on to something else?
Well, you know what? Here's where my GSP fan hat is going to come out. But I really do believe this, and I think we should really look at this a little bit, guys. How about the fact that, like Marco said, how about the fact that he did the right thing? How about the fact that GSP had no intention of fighting or defending that belt? And guess what? Within 30 days, he said, you know what? I want to do right by the sport. How about that? I think instead of bagging on GSP, I think we should honestly give him a round of applause for doing the right thing and saying, listen, went for the money grab, got what I wanted. Maybe he didn't say that, but I went for the money, got what I wanted. Now I'm going to do right by the sport, and I'm going to hand this back and give it to Bobby Knuckles to fight Luke Rockhold, which is not an easy fight for Bobby Knuckles. How about that? But, I think we should give GSP a lot of props for doing the right thing. Marco, I think we lost.
I think we lost Proteus. That's okay. My point was more the fact that regular order is coming into USC. A lot of people complain, so many people are going for the money fights and this and that. And if you look closely, the run of freaking championship fights that we have make sense. The only fight that didn't make sense was the GSP versus Bisping fight, but every single other fight has been the rifle number one, number two, or number 10 against the champion. There is no shame in that, man. I mean, we're too close to the forest, we're too close to the trees to see the forest. We're looking at things and think, everything is falling apart, but if you step back a little bit, you realize, hey, things are actually the way they are supposed to be. Rankings are starting to matter again, and the right fights are being made. So a lot of people might have to step away a little bit and see the side of the forest and see that things are actually okay. The forest is environment. This is not California, man.
Well, not Hando versus Bisping, though, guys. I mean, that.
Right.
Come on, that's
right.
Not that wasn't the right fight.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, you notice through the year, except for very few exceptions, clearly there was a GSP Bisping fight, and the Hendo Bisping fight was last year, brother. So it was October of last year. On this year, except for that GSP Bisping fight, every single championship fight has been the rifle number one, number two, or number three contender against the champion. So a lot of people that complain that a lot about it is freaking super fast and people are money grabs, whatever. But they have been the right fights. Even the interim fights that we have, nobody complained about Bobby Knuckles versus freaking Joel Romero. Everybody thought that was the right fight to make. And nobody complained about when freaking Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson went for the interim because Khabib can never get her ass right. You know, it's quick eating hermit soup, Khabib. So, like, even those interim fights were the right fights to make. And if they strip Conor McGregor, because, you know, come on, stop it, brother, you're going to defend or not, or if he vacates, nobody won't say that freaking Tony Ferguson is not the best lightweight in the planet. I mean, he can make that claim right now because he got a, what, 11-5 winning streak right now? So, yeah, that's just my point.
Listen, I apologize, guys. Apparently, my phone dropped out, so I don't know exactly what you guys are talking about. But the last thing that I heard was that you guys were talking about GSP giving up the middleweight title. And I think, again, due to what is happening, I mean, the last time we heard Dana White after GSP won, the next fight card that he was at, we heard that GSP was on vacation. He was going to take some time for himself. And that, you know, we would see what happens. All of a sudden, we hear that GSP has, you know, some kind of intestinal problem. And you know, as I said, exactly. As I said, DJ Tony, on this show, it's very convenient. However, I don't begrudge GSP for anything. I don't begrudge him for anything else. You know, for taking the fight, for you know, asking for Michael Bisping. What I do take, you know, a kind of, what I have a problem with is what, listen, Dana White has a problem with promoting his champions or promoting people who actually make money for him. We've seen it time and time again, like, who are the two people who made the most on pay-per-views this year? I believe that was Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier and GSP and Michael Bisping. So, you know,
correct.
Your boy, Dana White, clown boy, Lord Dana, has managed to take down every single star that they have. He's attacked GSP. He's attacked Jon Jones. These are the two people who have made you the most money out of this year. Sorry, let's not say that Conor McGregor may have made more money for the company due to the fact that Conor McGregor. Thank you, DJ Tony, for playing the music. You know, Conor McGregor probably has made the most money for the company due to the fact that he was in bed with McGregor or Mayweather Promotions. And he had a lackluster boxing affair, but that's not MMA. We cannot say that the MMA industry at the top level is having a good year, except for GSP and Jon Jones. And you can't shit on those people who are making the most amount of money. Why the hell would they want to work for you again, Marco? If somebody was shitting on you after you made, if your boss was shitting on you after you made them a F ton of money, would you want to go back and work for them again?
Look, when it comes to Jon Jones, he broke his own pain on him. Jon Jones earned that shit. When it comes to GSP, different story. But the other side of the token is that Daniel Cormier, that fought Jon Jones, and Michael Bisping, that fought GSP, on the other hand, have always been on the good side of Dana White. Well, they work for the guy, you know. They work on the UFC tonight. They are commentators.
Yep.
They are really company guys. They are in bed with the guy. So it's two sides to the coin. Dana White loves you when you're a company guy and you're making money. When you are antagonizing, that is when the horns come out. But that doesn't stop him from making money with you. He did it famously with freaking, what is his name? I forgot his fucking name. Blonde guy, the Huntington Beach bad boy. Man, I forgot his name.
Yeah, Tito Ortiz.
Tito, thank you. Holy crap, I'm getting
off. Welcome.
Yeah, he famously made money with Tito Ortiz, man. And by the way, you're a member of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. he did it with Randy Couture. I mean, you know, Randy Couture took them to court for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And they still brought him back, and they make money together. So, yeah, he will shit on the people that antagonize him, but he will take care of you. You're his homeboy, you know, like Chuck Liddell. He loved Chuck Liddell. Matt Hughes, you know, God bless his soul, he's getting better. You know, he loved Matt Hughes. So it's a side of two coins, you know. Like, he got his problem with BJ Penn a while back when BJ Penn walked away with the belt and went to Japan. But when he came back, BJ Penn came back into the fold, and then Dana took care of BJ Penn, man. I mean, they built him on them USC gym in Kona, Hawaii, for crying out loud. So it's a side of two coins, man. It's depend on the, he's a very personal guy, and you want to stop him from making business with you. Is it right? Is it wrong? I don't know, man. The guy made $400 million, so he's not doing something right. And, you know, it is what it is, man. I mean, we still watch the fight. He still put out the fights that we want to see. These guys, whether they like him or don't like it, they work with him. They're still making money with the guy. I mean, George St. Pierre walked away with a freaking handsome pay there after pay-per-view points. So he's not complaining. And Michael Bisping is not complaining. Even John Jones and Daniel Cormier are not complaining because they make bank that night. You know, and then John Jones, of course, tested positive. So, but I don't know what to say about that, man. It is what it is, a state of the affairs, man.
Yeah.
I don't see the sport could be the same without Dana White. I tell you that much. And that much we have to recognize.
Of course, of course. Okay, so let's get out of here with this, guys. Let's do Twitter follows of the week, or if you've got a song of the week, or if you've got a TV show you want to recommend to us. DJ Tony, let's start with you. We'll go to me. We'll have Marco close the show, and then we'll go, Chuck Ray!
My Twitter follow of the week, guys, is actually going to be someone that's on this card. And that's Ricardo Lamas at Ricardo Lamas MMA.
Lamas.
I think he's always a good interview, guys. And I think that Ricardo Lamas always actually gives his best in every fight. So my Twitter follow a week is Ricardo Lamas at Ricardo Lamas MMA. My song of the week, guys, I'm going to give this to this is going to be a hip-hop, old hip-hop song, a song that unless you're a DJ, you may not recognize. Yeah, but the song is by Quadrant 6 with the Q, Quadrant, the number 6, and the song is called Body Mechanic. Look that up.
All right. So I'm going to go next. I'm going to go with the podcast of the week. I have been turned on to a podcast called Science-ish. It's a podcast where they take the science that is in movies and TV shows and books and whatever, and they kind of break it down to see if it would happen in the real world. Science-ish. Check it out. Marco, get us out of here.
Nothing else matters this week but the release of the new Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi. Friday, if you are a real Star Wars fan, nothing else matters. You have to watch this freaking movie. It's getting raving reviews and Rotten Tomatoes at 97% fresh. Dude, I can't wait for this movie. I cannot wait for this movie. I cannot wait for this movie. With that said, follow Tony at IMDJTony. Follow Prodius at Prodius. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review at Knucklehead. Subscribe. You know, listen to us. Tell a friend. Tell your girlfriend, tell your grandma, tell your mother-in-law to subscribe and listen to the show. Here's when Daco just talk about MMA. With that, I leave you guys. Catch you guys next time. Enjoy the fight. I am Sparta!
And I just wanted to say, listen, guys, if you don't want to rate and review, we understand that, but just make sure you know we got you when it comes to MMA. And DJ Tony, just like that,
hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Chingazos.